As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Belle.
Belle, man, how you doing tonight?
I am doing not too shabs.
Yeah, man. In fact, you're doing an extra shab, maybe like 1 year older shab, because, dude, happy freaking birthday.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, I did celebrate one more revolution around the sun this week. And yes, I am indeed 1 year older.
Man, I was reflecting on you the other day, just thinking about just what a good friend you are. And man, how honored and happy I am to have you in my life. And so I already wished you happy birthday through Facebook, which, of course, we all know is the only thing that matters. But then I also took the extra step, gave you a phone call. But I just want to say here on air and publicly, happy birthday, brother. And I love you. And if I could, I'd give you a big hug across the podcast.
Thanks, man.
Yep. I know.
Nothing in both of my eyes.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It gets in the eyes sometimes. It's all right. It's all right. We got a great show planned for you tonight. We got some fun things to discuss. A lot of speculation that's coming your way. But first, I want to let you know, of course, about the good folks over at DCTVTalk.com, where you can get some great DCTV podcasting. That is assuming that this site's not down, because we have been under attack by hackers, and it has been a nightmare. But one way or the other, hopefully by the time the show goes out, everything is fixed. But yeah, DCTVTalk.com, check them out. Also, Patreon.com/TVTalk is the place to go to help support this show. And we strongly encourage you to do that, because this show happens based on you. If you enjoy our Flash commentary, you can help make it happen at Patreon.com/TVTalk. And last, but definitely not least, man, we are just a few, if I'm not mistaken, three iTunes reviews away from hitting 200 iTunes reviews. Ooh. And Belle, you know, we give multiples, we give free comics away at multiples of 10, but I say we go even bigger since we're coming up on 200.
You know, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
I say we go not just a comic issue, we give away a free graphic novel, a full digital graphic novel of your choosing to the winner. So help get there. Go over to iTunes, write us a review, looking for those 4 and 5 star reviews. And yeah, if we hit 200 by next episode, then we'll be announcing the winner of the free digital graphic novel. It could be you. So head over there again, iTunes, Flash TV Talk. Love for you to do that. All right. I think that's all the housekeeping out of the way. Belle, you ready for this?
No, let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 17 of season 4, Null and Annoyed, directed by Kevin Smith and story by
Lauren Certo and Kristen Kim.
Oh, they can't all be winners, Kevin. Bell, what happened this episode?
Barry and Ralph train to defeat DeVoe, with Barry becoming annoyed at Ralph's apparent inability to be serious. The team manages to locate another bus meta, Janet Petty. When Barry and Ralph confront her, it is revealed that Petty can manipulate a person's gravitational pull, which she demonstrates on Barry. Fearing once again that Ralph is not taking things seriously, Barry refuses to work with him. Ralph reveals his comedic attitude is due to a difficult childhood where his father abandoned him, causing him to make jokes whenever he is scared or under pressure. Barry relents and they go to stop Janet at a gala event. But Janet uses her powers on Barry, causing him to float up into the atmosphere. Barry tells the team to trust Ralph to improvise. Ralph detains Janet and then becomes a giant airbag to allow Barry to land safely. DeVoe's wife discovers that he has been drugging her, so she will continue to assist him. Meanwhile, Breacher comes to Earth 1 to ask Sisko for help as some of his powers have failed. It is revealed that Harry still has access to Thawne's time vault, and he uses it to recharge the thinking cap and to talk to Gideon.
Dun, dun, dun! Alright, so I'm just going to go ahead and say this off the bat. Man, this is a rough episode to come back on after such a long hiatus.
I'm a Kevin Smith fanboy, and I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like disappointed in it, but I don't think it's been as strong as other episodes of this season, for sure.
If I may, Bell, if Kevin Smith had not directed this, I have a feeling that this would be one of the least enjoyed episodes of the entire series. I think it's got Papa Smith's name on it, and that's why, you know, we want to give it a pass, the fanboys that are out there. But honestly, man, this was a rough episode, and I'm not necessarily giving it like a hard critique on it being like the worst episode of the season or the series or anything like that. I mean, yes, I do to some extent feel that way, but really, it's not necessarily the content or how it's written. It's the fact that so much convoluted story is happening again after such a long hiatus. Man, I almost feel like, you know, it may have been 1,078 days since you and I last talked. At least. It feels that way.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, though. Like, there were several different story threads, and they didn't feel connected in any sort of real way. Mm. So, but it's not to say that those threads weren't enjoyable. It just feels like they were, I don't know, the episode did feel just disjointed, but I don't feel like it was, you know, as bad, I think, as you are saying it was.
All right, good. No, it's good that we have a difference of opinion from that standpoint. Someone should speak up for the episode. I'm glad that's you. And I will say, though, that there are highlights in this episode. For one thing, we learned that there is a Jay and Silent Bob of Earth One, and they are security guards.
Yes, that was brilliant, because I saw that both Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes were going to be in this episode, and I didn't know if it was going to be like the previous one where I know Jason Mewes had been in, but Kevin Smith was not. But yes, this was pretty much Jay and Silent Bob, just Earth One, and I thought that was great. I a little nice little gag there, a little throwback for old KS fans, and that was appreciated.
Absolutely, man. We also got a nod in their little. If we can even call it a miniature arc of the Crown of Khandaq, which is a Black Adam reference, kind of a nice little nod. You know, Kevin Smith always happy to throw in some nods to the DC Comics fanboys and girls out there, and so, you know, always nice to see that. You know, I did notice, by the way, in this episode we got a turtle reference, but no McSnurtle reference. I am hoping that we might get a McSnurtle reference. I was actually hoping we'd get it from a Kevin Smith episode, given the fact that he is so like tied to the lore of the show and good to reference things and even, you know, be part of pulling out characters that we may not have seen in a couple of seasons, you know? I mean, like, you know, I just kind of thought we might see McSnurtle this episode, but that's fine. It's fine.
I just, there has to be some sort of, you know, not necessarily comeuppance, but some sort of resolution to the McSnurtle story, and they did it so well in Legends of Tomorrow with Axel the Rat, and that literally that character had it was just a throwaway little bit in one episode, and they turned it into an entire character arc for a rat on the show. And obviously McSnurtle is kind of the same thing, except for they just haven't given him his conclusion. Like, we don't know where he is. Where is McSnurtle?
Well, I'll tell you this, man.
Right? It's a she, right?
Yeah, she is definitely a she. And I'll tell you this, man. Legends of Tomorrow will come back up in this episode sooner rather than later. given what we know. Now, and I should go ahead and say this. I mean, we're about to talk about, you know, the characters and the episode and everything else, but this is likely to be a one of the shortest episodes in review ever, because you want it, we want it, we want to jump to the speculation that's going to happen, because honestly, the last 50 seconds of this episode demands like a 50-minute long discussion, a speedster speculation around it. But for the sake of continuity, and because there were some things that we need to point out in this episode, let's talk about it, man. So Danny Tejo returns as Breacher. He is having some issues, you know, one out of five Breachers out there having similar issues where his vibe powers are not quite doing what they need to do. And so he breaches to Earth One to get in on the science-iness that Sisko has. Possibly a little potential future father-in-law, son bonding type situation. What did you think of Danny Tejo's performance here, man?
Trejo. Danny Trejo.
What did I say?
You said Danny Tejo.
Well, Danny Trejo. Machete. What did you think of Machete's performance?
There we go. You know, so I, when he was in here last time, when we saw Breacher, like I feel like Kevin Smith was just telling him to come up with stuff off the top of his head.
It did feel like that, right? Like, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, this is going to be one of those where Bo's going to end up kind of bashing the episode a little bit up until we get to the last couple of minutes or seconds. But honestly, man, like, Danny Trejo phoned it in this episode. Like, I have never seen anyone phone in a performance like this. And I am a fan of Danny Machete. Trejo Tejo.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting there watching, you know, watching these scenes, and I'm like, that's the take that they took? Like, that
right?
One?
He did not want to be there. Somebody,
I'm not saying he didn't want to be there, but like,
I'm saying he didn't want to be there.
I mean, I don't know, you know, a gig's a gig, and maybe, you know, because, like, he hammed it up in the other one, and it worked. I thought it worked, like, him being hammy, but, like, this time it felt kind of off a little bit.
It was weird. And also, I didn't quite get how he was breaching, even though he couldn't breach.
Oh, I mean, come on. The blasts versus the breach, I'm sure it's a different, you know.
So it's a different power set.
Well, not necessarily a different power set, but like it requires more energy or whatever to blast than it does to breach.
That sounds crazy. To me, it would seem like it would take more energy to literally cross, you know, walk across the multiverse than it does to shoot out vibrations out of your hands.
Well, that's why you're not a writer on this show. Well, you just don't get it, okay?
Clearly I don't. But I will say this, man. So, you know, we do get the introduction or potential introduction of Vibagra. Vibe comes up with a pill, a performance enhancement pill. Unfortunately, it's all a ruse, a clever trick to deceive Breacher. However, I am pro Vibagra, and I think that Vibagra should be something that we should feel comfortable talking about. And if you are a Breacher out there and you find later in life that you need some Vibagra in your life, then, you know, more power to you.
It's a pink, I mean blue pill. I like that, you know, they actually called it a blue pill. That was
I know. That was good. So you got the Danny Trejo. Man, and I like I said, I like him. He's a great character actor and has done some phenomenal roles, and I've enjoyed him as Breacher, but yeah, I just got the sense that he did not want to be there. This episode. Now, we did get introduction of vampires, by the way, into the DC universe, albeit vampires of, I want to say, Earth green screen.
Yeah, that was. But I mean, what did you expect him to go to the real, you know, Earth with all those vampires and film it there?
No. You gotta. Well, and we've seen, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe we've seen that Earth before, back when Vibe. I want to say when he was fighting Gypsy, if I'm not mistaken, they actually vibed out to or breached out to an Earth that was all lava. And so I want to say this was that same Earth.
It didn't feel lava-y to me. It felt more like, I don't know, just, what is it?
Kind of post-apocalyptic.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, the beginning of that, where it's all like the battle scene. It's all like red and just.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Maybe that's the vibe that I got. The vibe that I got from it. And that's the thing though, because what did he call the master vampire guy? It's driving me nuts that I can't remember.
I don't know, but it seems so. I mean, like honestly, it seemed like a low budget sci-fi episode, like television well, and I mean, series I, you know, that doesn't even make it full season. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just being honest here. Like, I love the show. I'm not bashing the show, but I am bashing this episode from that standpoint. It just did not feel right.
Well, that was the thing to me is like the lines that he had, I thought were funny. He just delivered them terribly.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, anyway, it is what it is. I will say this, though. I love the idea that there are these vampires out there. I would even love kind of an exploration to the lore. Like, perhaps this is the Earth that the android Wells is from. You know what I mean? Like, maybe on his Earth, like, he's fighting vampires, and that's part of the reason why he's all bits and pieces at this point. Could be some fun ways to kind of tie the multiverse. And actually, any chance we get, I mean, you know, I bash the green screen aspect of, you know, the effects from that standpoint, but any ideas or any chance that we get to go across the multiverse, I'm all for. And even if it's for like a fun joke, I'm all for it. But you're right, Bell.
I want to go to Dragon Earth.
Dragon Earth?
The Dragon Earth. That's where Breacher's going to retire, or he, not retire to, but go visit after he retires.
Right. The Earth.
He's like, I am not a Khaleesi.
You know, he certainly isn't. Now, he does, by the way, at the end of that story arc, he presents Sisko with this kind of opportunity to potentially step into his shoes and become the new Breacher, or you know, join this kind of task force of Breachers that go and solve problems across the multiverse, kind of like a Green
Bounty Hunters, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, that. You get the sense there's kind of a Bounty Hunter, maybe even a bit of like a Green Lantern Corps aspect to them, right? Like, they don't, there's kind of a cosmic, if you take out the cosmic and put in the multiverse elements, and interesting concept. I don't want Sisko to take that job. I don't want to lose Sisko, man.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm sitting there and really, because I know we've had differing views on Ralph, but I feel like Ralph pushed Wally out.
You feel like Ralph pushed Wally?
Yeah, because there's more emphasis on Ralph and his relationship with Barry than Wally's relationship with Barry.
That's right, yeah.
And so, yeah, so we lost Wally in that regard. And I feel like kind of the same things with, as far as Ralph is concerned, is happening with Sisko and Caitlin.
Yes.
They're seeing less screen time. They're seeing, they're less important. I mean, not necessarily as much Caitlin, just because of her Killer Frost persona, has helped in a couple different scenarios. But like Sisko, he's really gotten a back seat this entire season.
Okay, all right.
I feel like.
So should I just go ahead and address the elephant in the room?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so listeners of this show know I have not been favorable to Ralph or his storyline. And during this episode, as we rehashed yet again another, you know, funny Ralph, sad Ralph, Ralph gets a pep talk, everybody hates Ralph, everybody loves Ralph, like the exact same Ralph story that we've gotten a million times over this season, I took to Twitter and I did something that I probably shouldn't have done. I declared that Ralph was the Flash's Elicity. Now, as for those of you who just watched The Flash and may not be familiar with Arrow or you know, the connected shows, over on Arrow, there is a kind of a fandom, a kind of community that has really wrapped themselves around a particular relationship, a ship, if you will, on Arrow, which is Oliver Queen, the Arrow, and Felicity, who, if I'm not mistaken, Felicity is now going by Overwatch as her kind of hero moniker. So the idea was that they had this great chemistry in season one. And, you know, I think the fans really wrapped around the idea of these two getting together as opposed to Oliver and Laurel, who it looked as though they were kind of going to follow the storyline of the comics. But the show runners really kind of acquiesced to the demands of the fan community that got behind the Elicity relationship. And because of that, especially in later seasons, around kind of season three, season four-ish, that relationship really ended up being kind of the forefront and the driving force of the show, which was great for that fan community, but much to the chagrin of everyone else who kind of showed up to see, you know, Arrow...
Batman.
Well, yeah, Arrow beating the bad guys, and, you know, this is, you know, you failed the city and all that kind of stuff. That it rubbed a larger majority of the fan community the wrong way. And again, I'm not trying to belittle the Elicity community. I want to make sure that is very clear. I am not, when I make the comparison to Ralph to Elicity, I'm not saying that my hatred towards Ralph or my distaste towards the Ralph storyline is equal to or at all the same as my feelings toward the Elicity storyline. What I'm saying is, in both scenarios, you've got a devoted fan base that's behind this particular subplot line in a larger, grander story that seems to be dominating the story. You know, I don't feel like we're watching The Flash lately, man. I feel like we're watching Elongated Man, like the Elongated Man show. And I don't do the Elongated Man podcast, man. I do the Flash TV Talk podcast, you know? And so from that standpoint, you know, Ralph here and there, maybe this season would have been great. Ralph being this kind of constant rehashing his story over and over and over and over again is getting tedious, and it is taking over the show. So anyway,
hang on.
Let me try to dig myself out a little bit further here if I can. So just to reiterate, when I'm comparing Elicity and Ralph, I'm not talking about the distaste level that I personally have, or even saying that there should be a distaste towards Elicity. What I'm saying is that a subgroup or a devoted fan community around one particular aspect of the show seems to be the driving force for this season, as Elicity has been in previous seasons. And I think that those that support Elicity, that's really, really great. I think that those who support Ralph in this instance, that's really great for them. But for me personally, who kind of finds myself not in that particular fan community, it makes it a little difficult to watch and enjoy the show, because Ralph just kind of gets in the way, in my opinion. So there it is. And I realize that after saying all that, those of you that are like, you know, really in the Elicity camp and everything, even though I'm not bashing you, even though I'm not bashing the storyline, I understand how me making that comparison may rub you the wrong way. If I offended you, I apologize. And that is all I will say about that.
So
you gotta be careful, man. These Twitter streets, they're mean. They're mean Twitter streets.
Yeah. it's sometimes it's not a nice neighborhood.
I'm not saying that, man. The Elicity community online has a beautiful neighborhood. There's wonderful houses and everything else.
But no, I'm saying Twitter. Like Twitter as a instrument on the internet can be a dangerous place sometimes.
That's true. That's true. Words get taken out of context and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I think I've said what I needed to say, and I hope that it will be heard by everyone.
Well, I'm glad to inform you that you're 100% wrong.
Oh, all right, hit me. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all the words that you just said were wrong.
It's amazing. All right, Master Luke, what did I screw up here?
Yeah, no, I agree. There have been situations where Ralph's character seems to reverse, and we have to relearn a lesson that he learned previously in the season. But to that argument, Barry's done the same thing every season, and we've seen it this season. This episode in particular, I feel, did more to expand Ralph's character and than episodes previously. It was very clear what he was setting up from the beginning, to see Ralph go from, like, you know, he was scared and he was running away, and now he's making all of these jokes and stuff like that. I clearly, like, from the get-go, was like, this is what Ralph is doing to deflect because he is terrified. And that's, of course, what it turned out to be. And there are things about Ralph that, you know, I like seeing Barry mentor someone. I wish it would have been Wally.
It should have been Wally.
I know. I know. But what I'm saying is like, if we didn't already have Wally, I think there wouldn't be nearly as many complaints about Ralph and his addition to this cast. And I think that's mainly because there's so much more growth for Ralph's character. And I've said this before, there's a lot more room for growth for Ralph's character.
No, 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 yes. No, no. I don't, Ralph, I'm sorry, Ralph. Ralph's dad, Ralph had a bad childhood. Wah.
He's like this scumbag dude who's coming from a selfish, you know, just bad person to becoming a hero, whereas Wally is nothing like that. Wally's already, you know, selfless, and he's already a heroic individual. The only thing really that Barry had to teach him was tricks of the Speed Force.
And then
that's more of like an H.G. Wells sort of Barry relationship than it is a Barry Wally relationship.
It's more about the rehashing. I mean, like, the Ralph pep talk has become like so like repetitive that I just go up and get a sandwich every single time it happens. Like, somebody looks at it, somebody like, I'll go talk to him, or, oh, I can't believe you said to Ralph, hey, can we have the room, I need to talk to Ralph. Like, whenever this happens, man, I just get up and go make myself a sandwich. And I'm kidding, by the way, before we get the negative iTunes reviews say they don't even watch the show. No, I'm kidding about that, but I'm also not kidding, because come on.
They're not all, like, this wasn't a pep talk. This was a, you need to get your head in the game talk.
I just don't care. What about spending time with Cisco? Yeah. When's the last time we talked to Caitlin? You realize we got a supervillain, like a supervillain with bipolar in the freaking next room, and we're gonna talk to Ralph because he had like issues with his dad 27 episodes in? Come on, man.
All right. That's the thing is the bus metas was the avenue they decided to go for this season. And so the bus metas are central to the plot. Ralph is a bus meta. Now, how cool would it have been if Wally was a bus meta?
No, this was a Wally relationship. That would not have been cool. I prefer the way that they actually made Wally the Flash. The idea that it was Barry hitting him. He was the lightning. That's powerful. I would have loved some more exploration of that. Maybe we'll get that in the future. But anyway, all right, that's enough, Ralph. We've devoted way too much time to Ralph. I will say one thing. I will say one aspect of this episode that I really enjoyed, albeit I wish we kind of got a chance to kind of explore it even further, is what's going on with the mechanic. I mean, she really is in a living hell where she's kind of constantly, you know, being controlled. We've seen this over the last several episodes, but she's starting to figure out that she is being controlled by the Thinker. And, you know, man, I got to tell you, I know we kind of predicted that perhaps by the end of the season that marriage counselor would come back and help them out. I think they're beyond the marriage counseling stage, my friend.
Can I just say that took me completely by surprise?
What?
I know that he had been giving her the love potion. Mm-hmm. But no, that when she records the thing, and she says, you got to escape, you got to get out of here. And there's already a file with that name.
That's creepy.
And it's like, how many times have you done this? Too many. That I didn't think that he had, you know, resorted to like wiping her memory every time that she catches on to his scheme that he's using her. Like, I thought that was really, really, really neat because, that's what he says. Like, you know, it's her humanity is what's not useful to him. And so he's got to keep her under control. Like, I didn't see that coming is what I'm saying. Like, I thought that maybe it was just the love potion was clouding her mind and, you know, she was still on board with it. But no, like him wiping her memory over and over and over again every time that she finds this out.
Yeah.
That was a big reveal to me.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. But let me kind of propose something to you. You know, we had one of the best episodes this season was the Thinker focused episode, like kind of diving into his origins and kind of who he was. I would have loved an episode that was like a mechanic focused episode specifically on her life now as being controlled, and maybe less with kind of the J.J. Abrams lens flares everywhere. And the eeriness, you know, it was shot in such a dizzying way to convey how she was feeling. I got that. And it did make me feel dizzy as she was unpacking what was going on. But I almost would have liked it more of a slow burn into it where it wasn't just her down in, you know, the Thinker Cave or the pocket universe where they do all their stuff. But like her like waking up in the morning and making toast and like having kind of these more human moments and finding maybe even little things that she might have like carved something into the table or something of that nature to kind of build up to this grand moment where you realize that all this time she's been trying to send herself a message when she's trying to send herself a message. And now you're right. The reveal they did was powerful and it was scary, but I feel like it could have warranted more buildup. I feel like that could have been an episode in and of itself.
And I agree, but that's the problem, right? Is that, you know, you have all these different characters, you have all these subplots. Like, you take out that's the thing, is they have they had Null they had to take care of this episode. Yeah. And so you couldn't, and as we learn this episode,
she's
Thinker
has
1 week.
Forgettable villain. I mean, if I'm being honest, man, she was totally forgettable.
Yeah, your classic twirly mustache steel gems villain is just kind of, man, we're 4 years into this show. I think we should be able to write more compelling villains.
But you know what? Appropriate for this episode, because up until the last 50 seconds, that's about what this episode is. It's convoluted. It's these like micro-packed stories, some of them unnecessary, some of them needing more fleshing out. A lot of characters pushed in the background. You know, I hear that Iris is becoming a reporter again, although I didn't see it this episode. I hear that Caitlin is fighting her inner demons, though I didn't see it this episode. You know, like there's a lot of the characters that we didn't get to spend time with. Is Joe getting married still? Are they having a baby? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that...
Is Cecile still psychic?
But I do know... Yeah, that's right. Is Cecile still psychic? I don't know that. But you know what I do know? That Ralph had a rough childhood. And I think that's what was important about this episode.
Well,
I know. I'm done being this that guy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you have a sandbox and it's filled with sand and it's got this particular set of toys, the bus meta toys.
Yeah, and one can be a whoopee cushion.
And you're wanting to put in all these other toys from previous seasons, but we can't. We have a sandbox with bus metas in it. That's what we got to play with. And so, you know, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get real here. Let's be honest. All right. So we got all that out of the way. We talked about that. Overall,
well, I do agree with you though. I think what you were saying, the way, like, if it had been a slow burn, that would have been really well. And I feel that, you know, without the constraints, that's how, you know, a storyteller would have done it. So I agree with you on that. But yeah, you know, we got what we got. I like the reveal. That's all I'll say about it.
Okay. All right. So overall, honestly, rough episode to come back on after a hiatus. Not a high point for the season or the series, in my opinion. Bell thinks it was a fine episode. I think it was not great up until the very last moment. Because honestly, if they had started with this and spent time on this, my friend... Oh, this is what I live for. This last 50 seconds of this episode, and that's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
Bell. All right, there's so much to unpack here.
I know, but hold on. I just want to say this one thing. There could be a Flash episode that's 45 minutes of Eobard Thawne brushing his teeth, and you would think it was the best thing ever.
That is fair.
I'm not saying I don't like the
character. Well, hang on. If it's Eobard Thawne.
Yeah, Eobard. It's Eobard brushing his teeth and just, like, you know.
Dude, are you kidding me? That would be amazing. Tom Cavanagh, like, the facial expressions he would bring to it. Like, you'd be questioning his every stroke. And he'd probably go, like, one tooth at a time, and there would be, like, a cutback to his look. And then he'd kind of give, like, a sly look to the camera. And then he'd break the fourth wall and just brush his teeth right at you. It would be amazing.
But yes, let's dig into this.
Give
last
Kevin
50
Smith
seconds.
That episode. Give him the Eobard brushing his teeth episode. All right, I can't tell if this is the best or worst podcast we've ever done, but it's one of those two. All right, look, here's the deal, man. We've got so much to unpack in those last 50 seconds. Let's just dive into the question that immediately rushed to everybody's head. Bell, was that Harrison Wells or Eobard Thawne?
It doesn't make any sense for it to be Eobard Thawne. Does it?
Well, so I'm asking you what your theory is, and then I'll share you mine.
I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, it's that's the thing. Like, it felt like such a just, oh, holy crap, Eobard's back. But, like, it's just out of the blue, and it seems kind of ridiculous because there's been no other indications whatsoever, except for name drops about Eobard. And maybe that's just it. Maybe, like, Eobard planned the whole thinker thing for some, you know.
Wait. So are you saying that you think it's Eobard?
I mean, okay, so where did the thinker get his power?
From the
original particle accelerator explosion. Who noticed thinker in the crowd at the initial lighting of the particle accelerator?
Oh, the main man himself, Mr. Eobard Thawne.
Eobard. So the connection is strong between Thinker and Eobard because Thinker is an original meta. But what happened with Harry? Like, where's Harry?
Okay, so again, so you are going based on the assumption that that is Eobard Thawne. Because I'm not. Like, I wholeheartedly and, like, fully subscribe to that not being Eobard Thawne.
No, well, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're pieces of that there, but, like, they're just pieces. I don't...
All right, so I get what you're doing. You're trying to justify the argument.
Yes, yes. I'm justifying the argument for that being Eobard.
I gotcha.
And so there's pieces there, and I can see people bringing an argument for it, but, like, I don't think that's how they're bringing back Eobard. No. I don't think that's what they're going to do.
Well, they already brought back Eobard.
Well, right, yeah, they brought him back in the crossover, and so... I don't think it's him. And if they do wind up with, oh, it's Wells was Eobard the whole time again, I might be kind of upset with that.
All right, so I don't think they're going to do that, and I think that is not. I love the way they shot that scene, because it like forces you to think that at least for an instant before you start kind of wrapping around, you know, what the clues are as to what's going on. You know, you instantly get that nostalgic vibe of, you know, him opening up the future room, of him going to the place where, you know, when we first got the reveal, where the Reverse Flash was powering up his suit. You know, the fact that we got freaking Gideon, OG Gideon, back. We haven't seen her since season one, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
so was that Miranda Baccarin that was actually voiced?
Yes, that was Firefly's really? Miranda Baccarin and also Gotham's Miranda Baccarin. So they went back to the OG voice. They went full in to give you that nostalgic vibe from season one with that big reveal. Now, all of that is constructed to give you that initial thought that perhaps this could be Eobard Thawne. We also saw him during the Earth-X, you know, crossover and everything else. However, this is not Eobard Thawne. This is Harrison Wells, and I want to explain to you why I believe that's the case. For one thing, he first gets this idea for becoming kind of his own thinker by being a Eobard-like character, to be a reverse thinker. You know, in fact, Eobard himself was an inspiration for this motive. And so with that in mind, he's been working under this framework of, I'm not thinking like the Flash. I want to think like the Reverse Flash. I want to be the villain to the villain, if you will. I want to try to figure out how I can unpack who he is and use every tool in my arsenal to outthink the thinker. And from that standpoint, I see him intentionally walking in the shoes of his doppelganger, well, body snatcher doppelganger's predecessor. And so, no, I don't think that that was Eobard Thawne. I think we are seeing Wells, but we are seeing a Wells who is intentionally trying to walk in the shoes of Eobard Thawne. Now, I think it's worth noting, you know, you mentioned Eobard. We got him back in Earth-X in that crossover. We saw him actually wearing the same face of Harrison Wells. Now, how he got the DNA of Harrison Wells, we speculated at the time that perhaps he actually stole the DNA from that particular Earth's Harrison Wells. And so he theoretically is still rolling around Earth One looking like Harrison Wells, doing we don't know what yet. But that is OG Eobard, and he is still out there. But I don't think this is him. And I think there's a lot of clues that point that out. We got those Jesse interactions in episodes previous. The very fact that he's going diving like deeper into thinker stuff as opposed to Speed Force stuff implies that that's not Eobard. Eobard wants to, you know, he's faster than the Flash. His vendetta is against the Flash. It has nothing, you know, he's a big fan of the thinker, of course, but he's not the thinker. That's not who he's after. So I think that this is definitely Harrison Wells.
Yeah, and you know, if Eobard was trying to defeat the Flash, he wouldn't be looking for help from the thinker, I don't think. No. You know, it'd be one of those things where, you know, he's going to try, and if he uses the thinking cap, like you're saying, he's going to try to figure out, you know, a way to think like the Flash, or to outthink the Flash, or to out whatever the Flash, not outthink the thinker. So yeah, I like what you're saying there, where he is the reverse thinker. I agree with you in that regard. Like, it doesn't, there's a couple little breadcrumbs here and there about Eobard this entire season. And, you know, we went over those at the beginning of this, but yeah, I don't think it's him. It just, all the Jesse stuff, like, I don't know.
I love this. This is so great. It's such a reverse, pun intended, from season one. In season one, we made the case for why Harrison Wells was Eobard. Now we find ourselves making the case for why Harrison Wells is not Eobard. It's brilliant.
The shoes on the other foot, it seems. But yeah, you know, it doesn't make too much sense.
Now here's the other thing. Gideon, I think, thinks he's Eobard.
For sure.
Because yeah. Gideon says very specifically, the last time we spoke, it has been 1,078 days since we last spoke. Now, this has been unpacked to find out that 1,078 days ago from the broadcast was actually the episode of The Trap, when the episode The Trap aired from season one, which, if I'm not mistaken, was the last time that we saw Gideon. And also, you know, when the last time they had the interaction between Gideon and Eobard. So Gideon thinks that she is talking to Eobard Thawne.
I will agree with that, yes. And it's also something to point out that the voice of Gideon on like Legends of Tomorrow is a different voice than Miranda Baccarin, and also a different actress. Miranda Baccarin does not play Gideon in her physical form on Legends of Tomorrow. So,
well, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but when Legends first started, it was Marina Baccarin. Like, didn't she change voices like two or three episodes in?
I don't know for sure, but I can find that out.
I mean, I know they can retcon it however they want to, but this actually gives some kind of confirmation that the Gideon from Legends of Tomorrow is either from the past or the present, the past or the future, but she is definitely not from the present, because Gideon did not get unplugged from the future room. She's been in the future room this entire time.
Well, okay, so what was the thing that was in Harry's hand?
Yeah, like some sort of like key that he used
was
to open her up.
Or was it like a drive that he was like loading her into?
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about it from that standpoint. I saw it as more of a key.
Yeah, I mean, because he turned it like a key, and so I don't know.
I also thought it was interesting because so we've seen Gideon interact with Barry and Eobard, and we've seen Sisko use like the future tech, but I don't think we've seen him interact with Gideon, right?
Not Gideon, but yes, he saw the future newspaper, yeah. But I don't think he's interacted with Gideon. I think you're right.
Yeah. Same thing with Iris. She's actually seen the future newspaper. So she's been able to use the tech, but not necessarily deal with Gideon. We've only seen Gideon deal with speedsters, and I could be wrong. Y'all tweet us. Let me know if we're missing something there, but I think that's right. And so this idea, of course, we know that Gideon was built by Barry. She says specifically that she was built by Barry Allen. We know that she has the ability to see changes in the timeline. That was what her primary purpose was with Eobard in the first season. Like, whenever something happened in the present, he was always interested to know how that impacted the future, because he wanted to make sure the future was intact so that he could get back home. I think it's kind of interesting, man. What if Harry is actually planning on utilizing Gideon not to preserve the future, but to intentionally and if not aggressively change the future so that
the Thinker is unprepared?
Exactly. So that if the Thinker is trying to figure all this stuff out, like getting all these predictions and everything else, by constantly changing what the future should be, and also by using the thinking cap as well, he's got like a leg up on the Thinker. Gideon is essentially his secret weapon.
Yeah. That actually does make a lot of sense, because, you know, that's the thing, is like Thinker's planned out everything, but if you change the future, he hadn't planned for a future that doesn't exist unless he planned on the future changing.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, like, so Harrison Wells is kind of an interesting phenomenon in this Earth. Right. Like, he's not of Earth One. He is of Earth Two. And we even saw during Flashpoint, when he comes back to Earth 2 and everything's different, you know, the fact that the timeline changed on Earth 1, it didn't impact Earth 2 and it didn't impact his personal timeline, which means that he was not, you know, susceptible to changes in the time. There's a similarity between Harrison Wells of Earth 2 and Gideon. Gideon also is not susceptible to changes in the time. She is aware when timelines change. When a speedster causes some interaction, and actually in Legends, we know it's beyond just speedsters. When something happens to the timeline, Gideon is aware of it. She can track it. She knows what timeline existed before, and she knows what changes it made to the current timeline. Harrison Wells, he knows what the previous timeline was. When he returns to the Earth, when the timeline's been changed, he is not impacted by that. He is separate from this timeline, unlike the Thinker. And so I'm wondering if Gideon is going to kind of piece together, like, will she figure out that Harrison is not Eobard, or is he going to kind of constantly trick her into thinking that he is?
Interesting. But I will say this, though. The Gideon for Legends of Tomorrow was different for all 51 episodes. It was Amy Louise Pemberton. So Marina Baccarin, Flash Gideon, Amy Louise Pemberton, Legends Gideon.
Interesting. All right. Well, good to know. Good to know. I mean, do you think, you know, this being, you know, you obviously you're a co-host of the Legends TV Talk podcast, the prolific Legends of Tomorrow podcast. Be sure to find it, Legends TV Talk. In Legends, as we all know, has been hitting it out of the park with like the craziness, and many people are saying it's one of the best shows on TV. It has gotten me to the point where as soon as I get an opportunity, I plan on binge watching to catch up. I believe I saw a giant blue doll fighting a dragon.
A demon, a time demon.
A time demon. Okay. There's time demons?
This show is awesome, dude.
That sounds amazing. All right, I got to watch Legends. Especially after this week of The Flash, I got to check out Legends. But all right, so do you believe that Gideon, because the Gideon on Legends is the same as Gideon on Flash? Like, are they part of their same personal timeline, if you're following me there?
Yeah, I think technically they're supposed to be the same thing. And the reason why they use Gideon is for the same reason that that Eobard used her, was to check for anomalies in the timeline and to calculate anachronisms and aberrations in the timeline so they can track them down and find them and fix them. So they serve a similar context there. Now, I don't remember exactly how Gideon winds up on the Wave Rider. I don't know if Rip
She was got- already there. Right? Unless they gave a backstory for her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if Rip got the AI from Barry and put it on the Wave Rider, which might be the case. But yeah, like they're so I don't remember exactly why she's on the Wave Rider in that case and not in the Time Cave. Because at some point in the future, I think that happened. So I think the Gideon on the Wave Rider, though, is a younger Gideon, if you will. Whereas Eobard's is an older Gideon that he brought back in time.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, I think that's good. I think that's right. No, I don't think that's right. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It could go either way.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of timey-wimey stuff going on here.
Remind me, in the season one, the quote-unquote villains are the Time Lords?
They're not villains. They're the like corrupt bureaucracy that controls time, and they, you know, hunt down people who try and manipulate time.
Okay, so we know that Gideon was created by Barry and will be at some point.
Yes.
What if that organization exists to basically like shut down speedsters in the future? What if we actually see their origins as a villain in a future season?
The Time Lords?
Yeah. Like, what if we see that organization forming in response to Barry Allen in the present?
Yeah. Oh, on The Flash?
Yeah.
Highly unlikely, but
you think so?
I'm pretty sure the Time Bureau, or no, sorry, that's season three. I'm pretty sure the Time Lords were invented in like 21 something. So like, you know, probably like 100, maybe like 100 years or so after
Barry
would be dead.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I was just throwing that theory out there. The fact of the matter is we've got this connective tissue with Gideon. Like, we have not seen her in forever. Like, it's been so long that we've seen Gideon, we gave up asking where she was like a season and a half ago.
I know, right? Yeah. And I just figured that we're done. But no, Gideon's. And that's one thing that makes me really excited about, like, you know, what does this mean for the show? Like, where are we going with this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, you know, that's the thing is are they channeling some of the magic of the first season again? Like, cause that would be really neat. And I really just want to go back and rewatch season one of The Flash. Just seeing Gideon and seeing freaking, you know, Harry in the future room, but it wasn't Eobard, but it was maybe kind of supposed to think that it was. I'm like, I want to watch season one again.
Well, and I mean, to some extent they're positioning characters to be in a very season one place by the end of this season. We've got Eobard back. He's wearing Harrison Wells' face. We've got Iris going back to her journalistic roots. You know, we've got theoretically the Gideon back in play and, you know, time travel potentially coming back into the conversation. I mean, this was a season where they intentionally stepped away from time travel and stepped away from speedster villains. And while I think that's good and it can be refreshing and it has produced some really solid episodes, there is something core to The Flash that is time travel, that is speed. You know, so much so that the heroes that have gotten the focus have been just one hero and his name is Ralph, and it's been problematic in my opinion. So from that standpoint, you know, I think that I'm seeing the workings of establishing a base for a really solid and exciting season five. Now, I'm not throwing season four out. I think that there's still going to be a grand resolution to this battle with the Thinker, and I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, I think you're not wrong to assume that perhaps they're trying to dive into that nostalgia of season one with these little points throughout this latter half of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so you're saying, I think we're both saying that is not Eobard Thawne, that is Harrison Wells. But we want to hear what you think. If you think that that is Eobard and you've got some thoughts on it, be sure to tweet us in this week. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are and keep that conversation going. Exciting. You know, gladly, we actually have an episode to pick up next week as opposed to 5 weeks in the future. So this will be really ready to kind of, you know, hit the ground running, so to speak.
We've been talking about who we think Eobard is. Let's hear from you guys what you think.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red
and yellow. All right, man, we got some great listener feedback in and a lot of thoughts we're rolling in about that last 50 seconds. Let's see, this was emailed in from listener C. She says, okay, I just caught the last 5 minutes of this week's episode. Harrison is the reversed Flash? ! And yeah, that seems to be what some people think. That was definitely what we were made to think. But let's see what other theories are roaming around. What else did we get on Twitter?
Well, a Laurel at LOT Fan's mom wrote, I am really curious because he also seems so very obsessed with Thawne. I think he's still E2 Wells based on the scenes with Jesse, but gosh, I don't know. Eager to see this play out. Completely agree. Yeah, there's like hints and nods all over the season, but then there's so much stuff with like Jesse and all these other things. It's just I'm really excited to see where they're going to go. Like Thinker was kind of interesting, but now we got this as well, and so yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a heck of a ride.
Well, it's not universally thought that though. I mean, we got at WMKD74 who says definitely reverse Flash. Don't know why he put on the old face. We also have at Legendstorm TV who writes in and says, well, I saw something that said that Dr. Wells hadn't spoken to Gideon since the episode, quote, The Trap, which was over 1,000 days ago of the last episode. Coincidence? I think not. And we did hear that Matt Lester might be returning. So, you know, there is definitely a camp that says that this is, in fact, Eobard Thawne. We also had Andrew H with several numbers after his Twitter handle. You know what? I'm gonna give it to you, Andrew. Andrew H 87837205, who says, I think that Harry is going to make yet another particle accelerator explosion to enhance his thinking cap like DeVoe, but he might turn evil. I don't want him to do whatever he's about to do. They need Harry on Team Flash, but he needs them too. And again, that's Andrew Haynes on Twitter.
Yeah, that's very true.
I like the idea of like Wells creating, you know, we've talked about maybe a second Big Bang, a second particle accelerator to kind of like create a bunch of new metas. And actually, that would make a lot of sense
for a season five Rogues, man.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong at all. I could definitely see that. That's a good theory, Andrew.
Would be cool.
And then finally, man, we got Kent_Graham on Twitter. What did Kent say?
I love the show, but CW is not subtle. I have to believe that if it really were Wells Eobard, I like that.
H.G. Eobard. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, Wells Eobard's good too. Come on.
It's pretty good.
We here on the show prefer H.G. Eobard. but I have to believe if that really were Wells Eobard, we'd have gotten the telltale reverse Flash helicopter noise. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
More likely, it's just Harry readjusting his thinking strategy after being in the cap for so long. Yeah. Yeah, we agree with you, Kent. There, pretty sure it's not Eobard. The reverse Flash helicopter noise is a very good point. Anytime we've ever seen the reverse Flash, there's always been that like vibrating hand helicoptery noise, and yeah, I haven't seen that at all. But yeah, I think this is Gideon just seeing H.G. Eobard and thinking that it's him when it's actually Harry.
Merry Christmas. I can't do the.
No, you can't.
Yeah. All right. And finally, man, we got an iTunes review in from the self-proclaimed Flash Wiki on iTunes. What did they have to say?
Such a great podcast. I love how much information, quirky jokes, and rants these two bring each week. Well, we appreciate your review.
Absolutely, we do. And I'm sorry, by the way, if I got a little too ranty this episode. Admittedly, I've kind of come to my wits end with Ralph. I have started the hashtag Ralphin on Ralph. See, that does happen when I watch the show. But... I got a little soapboxy this episode. So if this was your favorite and you feel like I was being too harsh, I'm sorry. You know, tweet at me. Let's have a discussion. Let's work through this. If you're a hardcore Alicity fan who you feel like I've offended you and your fandom, yet you stayed this long to listen to me say this right now in this episode, tweet at me. Let's have a conversation. It's fine. We're all about the fandom. At the end of the day, we love talking DC TV and we love talking about these characters. And you know, there's I would not care. Like, you know, the fact is I'm passionate about these characters. I'm passionate about the way the franchise is handled. And I want to make sure that, you know, that we see some solid storytelling. And there is that in this season. It's just buried sometimes. And I really want it to come to the forefront. And I think that it will, given the fact that we are in the home stretch here till the end of it. And it should be a good one. By the way, we are just three reviews away from 200 on iTunes. So head over to iTunes and write us a review. We give away a digital comic every single time that we have a multiple of 10. And since this is the big 200, instead of just a digital comic, we're giving away a free digital graphic novel. So be part of that. Head over to iTunes. Let's make it happen. Looking forward to giving that away. Also, we want to encourage you to support this podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/TV Talk. You get some bonus content for doing so. We actually, for, I believe, our $3 on up patrons, get some additional shenanigans. So if you ever want to know what me and Bell are thinking behind the scenes, we have a lot of fun. I actually, Bell, I was going back and rebuilding the shenanigans feed as I've been working through a lot of issues that we've had on our hosting client. And I think the greatest podcast episode that you and I have ever recorded together is an episode of Shenanigans on pizza and politics. And it's brilliant. And I almost kind of hate the fact that it's a Patreon exclusive because it's so good. I just want to put it out there.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, like, it's one of the best pieces of podcasting we've ever done. And you can get it. All you got to do is become a patron.
That's right. Patreon.com/TV Talk. We love and thank you so much. This show would not happen if not for those of you supporting us there. So again, that's patreon.com/TV Talk. You can also follow us throughout the week on @FlashTVTalk on the Twitters. You can also follow our personal accounts as well. I'm @TheRealBoYork and Bell is @RingThatBell.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest discussions on all things Flash, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
And special thanks, as always, to Charlie Bach, who provides our awesome music. You can check out the rest of his stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
And, of course, we are a member of the DC TV Talk Podcast Collective. Head over to dctvtalk.com for the latest and greatest in all your DC TV talking needs. Again, that's dctvtalk.com. Y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in. We're looking forward to next week, looking forward to where this season is going and all the fun things to talk about. Thinker. And yeah, it's getting good. We're in the final stretch. And until next week, we'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.